Today we start a new series. We're going through the Gospel of Mark. So we begin with the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, reading verse 1 through 13. It says, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling into the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me comes the one who's more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. The word of the Lord. I'm going to take you back to the first days of the pandemic. Do you remember that? We didn't know anything. We didn't know what it was. We were jokingly, right? I say this jokingly, washing our food from the stores with Lysol. Do you remember that? We were wiping everything. We just didn't know. We didn't know how it was spread. We didn't know why. We were all stuck in our homes, absorbing way too much TV and news. And it was a scary time. Let's be honest. And what living memory do we have of a time where the whole nation shuts down? It was unprecedented, as pandemics are. But do you remember how quickly we started looking to our past? Do you remember how the Spanish flu started coming up and how we were starting to make parallels to that? I still remember to this day hearing how eventually people just got so sick and tired of wearing masks and being indoors and separating that they just stopped. I remember hearing how many parallels there were to us today, even though it's 100 years apart. Was it a one-for-one comparison? Absolutely not. People back then didn't have Zoom meetings they had to attend. Ugh, how fun were those? But in that, it taught us that we naturally go back to our past to help us make sense of what we're going through today in hope of a better tomorrow. I think that's something that's built into us, where we reflect on what has come before to inform us today, to give us hope for the future. And as we begin the Gospel of Mark, as we set out on this new journey, that's what I see Mark doing. Speaking and using the past to inform his present for hope of the future. Now, we're starting this journey for many reasons. One, because I think it's always good to reflect on the stories of Jesus. But two, we've gone through this period now where we have done a lot of teachings, right? We've done the Lord's Prayer, then we did the Sermon on the Mount, then we did the Apostles' Creed, and it felt like teachings more than stories. And I want to get back to a place where we begin to hear the stories, where we begin to meet Jesus again. Where Mark introduces us to Jesus, he says, "This is the beginning." That's how his gospel starts. Does that sound familiar? If you were to look it up in the Greek, it's the same way that Genesis 1 starts. God is doing something, he is declaring. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. I like some of the ancient writers because they knew how to get to a point. Again, just to remind you, I was trained as a historian. And one of the things we in the historical community like to do is you got to get straight to the point. If you're writing a paper, nobody wants you to take 10 pages to get to your point. You're going straight in. It should be one of the first things you say. Why are you writing this and why do we care? Mark is exactly like that. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And again, he starts off in the prophets. We move from that statement right into the prophets. We get told of the story of the hopes and the promises. We are reminded that Christmas is coming. Yes, I saw Target already has up Christmas decorations, right? Christmas is coming. God with us. That's the hope. That's the goal. And where Mark begins, again, he's drawing from the prophets, reminding us that, but then he has somebody who looks remarkably like a prophet, John, right? He describes him, what he's wearing, what he's saying, what he's doing. It's very prophet of the Old Testament. And he's out there and he's calling the people, interestingly enough, of Jerusalem, of Israel, of Judah, to repent and to partake in this ceremony that Gentiles partake in when they convert. Could you imagine somebody coming up to church today and going, "You're all not really Christian. You need to get rebaptized." That's what he's saying. To the Jewish people, they're going, we know we're Jewish. We don't need to go through this again. And yet we notice that flocks of people are coming out to him. They are willing to do it. There is something unique about them seeking to relive the story because we should see it as a reliving of that story. They're entering the land through the same way they came in, the Jordan, which according to Paul is an echo of Exodus. When they were first called as the people of God, they're entering the waters to renew their relationship with God. They're hungry and thirsty for God. They are hoping that the words that John is proclaiming that God is coming is true. They're ready. They're willing. And if this was a TV show, right, the camera would pan and we would expect to see God walk around the corner, right? And instead we see Jesus, who Matthew calls Emmanuel, God with us. And boy, is he with us. The story says he gets in the water with everybody else. Just as God was present in the Exodus story and parting the seas, there he is. And we have this beautiful triune moment, right? We Christians declare that you want proof of the Trinity, here it is. The Father speaks, the Spirit communicates, and the Son receives. They're all there. And just as the Spirit hovered over the wild and waste in Genesis 1, we have the Spirit descending like a dove right there above the waters upon Jesus. It's this beautiful story where you begin to believe that Mark is right. God is doing something new in the beginning. This is the beginning of the good news. It feels like the beginning of the good news, doesn't it? But what happens after the Red Sea? The story says the people go into the desert and they are tempted and tested. Anybody who's gone into the wild and waste, the desert and the wilderness, has not had a good experience in Israel. They are tempted. They are tested. We should be clutching our pearls, holding our breath, going, this isn't going to go well. We know how this story goes. Now, for Matthew, we are told that Jesus is tempted. If we were to put ourselves back and the first people to read that gospel. Do you know where the demons lived? The demons lived in the pagan temples, in the graveyards, and in the desert. If this is a matchup, this is Jesus going on to Satan's home turf. Who's the home team? Satan. And he's there, and he is battling. We hear it. We hear echoes of the garden yet again, which are all what any of the tests the Israelites went through. The first thing they did is they complained that there was no food. Look, if you really are the Son of God, turn these breadcrumbs, these rocks, into bread. Feed yourself if you're so hungry, right? Well, isn't the point for you to let everybody know who you are? Isn't this good news you want to share with everybody? I'm going to take you up to the top of the temple. And when you fall off, the angels will rescue you, and there will be no doubt of who you are. Everybody will know, right? We should see every moment of somebody asking Jesus for a sign of who he is, echoing the words of the accuser, of the Satan, in this moment. And then those who were in our Bible study this morning recognize the last temptation. He's taken up to a high mountain. For those unaware, that's where Eden was. It was up on a high place. Where people go to meet God is on a high place, but instead of meeting God, he meets the serpent. And the serpent says, oh, well, if you truly are the Son of God, here's the world, right? Son of God was always language from the time of David to represent the king of Israel, and had gained the meaning that when God had come again, when the Messiah was with them, the Messiah and God would rule the world. So here it is. Here's the world. Do you know each and every time Jesus quotes from the passages of the Bible that are talking about these very tests in the wilderness? He quotes from Numbers and Deuteronomy, book 4 and 5. And it's here that we hear that he passes the test. God really is doing something new. God really is doing something new. From this point in the story, the possibilities are endless. The excitement should be high. And of course, we are now going to spend weeks looking at just what it means for Jesus, in Mark's word, to be the proclaimer and bringer of God's kingdom. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does it look like for God's promises to be made true? It looks like good news. And we're going to get to know that good news real well. But here is something we know. We're going to do a look much like Mark did. Do you know there's poll after poll saying that people are leaving the church? Every time we open up a poll or somebody does some research, it's always bad news for the church. People are leaving. People are stopping and believing. We have more people identifying as none in this country for religious belief than ever before, is what we hear. 23%, 25%. It's growing. We continue to be told that generation after generation is leaving the church. When we hit COVID, we saw people leave the church. That's not a surprise to us, is it? COVID didn't make anything easy. But here's the thing. We knew for the last 20 years this was the trend. All it did was shine the light on it. And so people left. I've heard some concerns that, well, we don't have as many people, even within our own church, let alone the big church. How are we going to reach this next generation? I'm worried about our future. So I'll tell you this bit of history. When I was in seminary, our history teacher made us go to Wheaton College. How weird. We were already at a school, and they told us to go to another school for another lesson. There is a Billy Graham Museum there on Wheaton College campus. It's wonderful. It really is. Highly recommend it. And one of the things that continues to stick out is that they say before you had the Great Awakening in our country, there were only 10% of the people who would identify as members in the church. 10% of people who were members in a church, not the church, a church. We are nowhere near that level. But you know what comes after that low number? The biggest explosion our country has ever seen in Christianity. A true revival. True revival. That tells me that they didn't stop believing in God. They were hungry for Jesus. They might have been starving for Jesus. Do you know what else our polls are telling us today? That each new generation is more depressed, anxiety-filled, and suicidal, apathetic than the previous one. More and more our people, our children, are hurting. You know what that tells me? They're hungry for good news. It tells me they're starving. And how could they not be? Tell me the last time you heard something good on the news. Tell me the last time you opened your Facebook, your Instagram, your TikTok, and didn't hear somebody hurting, complaining. You know, today, me and Melissa wept because there was a story that came across TikTok of a little boy with brain cancer. And they're not really hopeful. Heartbreaking enough. This kid couldn't be older than 10. And him and his little brother have this ongoing joke that they are celebrities. Celebrities in their own brain. Some of us know that better than others. And as they were going to Disney, the mom put out on a Disney board, I don't know if this is a thing, we're going to be here on this day, but if there's anybody at Disney, a cast member or something like that, who would just recognize them and say, oh, it's the celebrity, so-and-so, it would be great. It would mean the world to my kids, right? Somebody then went, found that, put it on TikTok, blasted it, put it everywhere that everybody could see, and from the moment they walked into the park, they were treated like celebrities by all the minimum wage workers. And that even by the time it got to the parade, Aladdin and Jasmine and the Genie and Dopey and Pluto, right? All the characters are coming up, shaking their hand, recognizing them, calling them by name. This is one of the last moments this kid has. There's still good in this world. That's the first good news thing I heard all week, and it was this morning, and it brought me to tears. We are hungry as a people for good news, aren't we? We hear it in poll after poll. We hear it in every time we talk to somebody of the next generation, how they're apathetic. And guess what? We're not known as the good news people. The church is known for what we're against, who we don't like, right? That's the narrative that gets put out there. All of the negativity, even within the church, which is why it's so important that we become people that proclaim the good news from our very scriptures. Mark starts not with what Jesus is against. He starts by declaring that God is doing something new and that that is good news. That the one who is proclaiming the good news is also bringing the good news. The one who is speaking is also doing the work. Is going to be the one who loves and comforts and heals and restores. And we are going to hear about Jesus who doesn't go to the people who are doing all right. He goes to the people who are broken, who are hurting, who need that good news. I continue to say, we have the answer. to the hurting and pain in the world. That's what the good news is. We just have to be faithful enough to witness to it, to declare it, to proclaim it, to be the people that are reaching out generation after generation, not just proclaiming our good theology, not just proclaiming our good teachings, but really explaining, living out, serving in such a way that we are good news. Because just like Jesus, who is filled with the Spirit in his baptism and is sent out, so are we. If it, my go-to phrase, if it's true of Jesus, it's true of us. We too are called to that. And that's why I think our mission, our goal as a community that we have discerned to be the people to reach out to this next generation, that is not unintentional. I think that is our calling by God, because this next generation needs to hear the good news more than ever before. The work we are doing in this church matters. And it's not about how many seats we're filling. It's not about how good our worship service was and how well all of our instruments played and if our technology was right. It is truly, did we tell the good news? Did we help people experience the good news? And whether that's just one person today or 1,000 people tomorrow, that's the goal. That's the heart of who we are. And I guarantee you, if you look back in this church's history, that is what drove the people. When you are remembering the time when the church was bustling and hustling and bursting at the seams, it wasn't everybody going, I'm glad we got 100 people in church today. Let us count the seats. Did they tithe? No, you were going, boy, that was a good message, and I want to tell my neighbor, and boy, those songs were just spot on, and it really touched my soul. I can't tell you how many times I've been in this church now and had the conversation, this song always reminds me of somebody. That sometimes I cry during the service because I remember this hymn or this song being sung at this time. I can't tell you how many conversations I've already had in the short time I've been here, of you all recognizing that God is moving in this place. Moving not just here in the church, but in your lives. And you see it and you recognize it, because that's the good news, that God is doing something new. And that doesn't mean we get rid of everything, right? We draw strength from the past to hold us here in the present. But we are doing stuff that we never thought we would do. Let's be real honest here. There are some things we have done in this church we never thought we would do. And we're doing it. And we've seen some fruit from that. The good Lord is allowing us to see that fruit. Now, it may not feel like it today when we're working on a skeleton crew, when me and Larry and Alan are hanging on by all that we have, trying to make it happen. But our faithfulness, your faithfulness, is what shines through. That I still have people who are in other countries texting me going, I wish I was with you guys. That says something. That says something about what is happening here. So for us, I want us to hear this message to renew ourselves in what is happening. What is happening in our church? God is doing something new. This is the beginning of the good news. This is a new chapter in our story. And that doesn't mean all the other chapters didn't matter. That doesn't mean everything that we have gone through was washed away. But it does mean the story is moving forward. And at the heart of that is going to be Jesus. So that is why we're going to read from our Gospels. And that is why I think this scripture is inviting us to recognize what God is doing. He's not just calling one of us. He's not just calling a few of us. He's calling all of us. Every single one of us are filled with the Spirit and get to participate in the work that Christ is doing in the world, in the community, in this church today. So I want you to leave here hearing the message that God is working. And not somewhere far away, but right among us. And hear the invitation that you get to be a part of it. Feel the excitement of figuring out what you get to do and how you get to be a part of this. because there's room for each and every one of us here to participate, to be a member of the body that is going out and loving and serving the people and bringing the good news to the next generation that desperately needs it. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and holy Father, we give you honor and praise that you are the one who is doing a new thing among us. That as you are moving and as you are working among us, you are calling us as you called your Son, filled by the Spirit, to go out, to love, to lead, to serve, to comfort, to heal. Lord, we as a people, we as your children, would pray that we get the privilege and the honor to reach out to the next generation. That no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter how many hiccups, no matter how many bumps, no matter how many bruises we may take, we are moving forward empowered by your very presence. And that at the end of the day, it is not about how shiny and spiffy and cool we are, but of how well we follow you and your word. That we are the people led by your presence, your love, your Spirit. So Father, empower us to never lose sight of your calling that you've placed upon us. Fill us with your presence that we may have the strength, as those who have come before us in this building, in our previous building, to reach out in all love to every generation and care and love them and give them, bring them the good news. May we follow in our Savior's footsteps of proclaiming and helping to serve and bring the good news wherever we go. And let this be a spot and a place in our community, here in Wilton Center, as Faith Connection, as the source and place where people come and know your presence and your love and your good news. Father, we pray all of this in your glorious name and in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.